I'm going to be talking about rice breeding in California. Big caveat, I'm not a breeder. This is actually part of some of the work that we've been doing, looking at yield gaps, which you'll see a little bit of at the beginning. And I'm also not a statistician. Matt Espy, a postdoc of mine, did a lot of the statistics here, and he's not able to be here, so if you have any questions on that, you have to wait on that maybe. A little bit of background. There's a lot of intensive rice production systems around the world that are reaching yield plateaus, and California rice is one of these systems. And just a little bit of background, I'm not going to get into hardly any of the detail here, but just to point out that we are up against a yield plateau. This is California here. Part of California is San Francisco, the Bay Area. This is the rice growing area that you see shaded in green. The main rice growing area here is circled in yellow, and that's in the northern part of the Sacramento Valley. And there is a cold gradient going down, which I'll be discussing a little bit. Over here is, we're very close to our yield potential in California. We're, if you see that top right-hand graph for you all, we're bumping up around statewide averages up around 10 ton per hectare. And if we do an analysis of this, we're within about 1 ton of yield potential. People looking at yield potential will say if you're within 75, maybe 80% statewide of yields, farmers are getting that, you're pretty much hitting your yield potential. So other breeding challenges that we face besides that we're trying to increase yield at it very close to the yield potential is a requirement for high quality. California rice is a medium grain. Again, it's used for partly in the sushi market, but our main exports are to Japan and South Korea, where there's a high desire for good quality rice. Routinely in the breeding program, high yielding varieties are eliminated because they don't meet quality standards. The other issue here that I alluded to before is a cold tolerance. As you move south in the rice producing area, you're getting into a colder area. Again, you've got the San Francisco Bay Delta area. A lot of the influences of ocean air coming in that's cold, and you get blanking when you get below 13C during particular times in rice growth that really can limit areas and limit the suitability for certain varieties that can be adopted broadly across the state. We also have a relatively short growing season. We're fairly far north for rice, so we have the season is shortened by temperatures, but also rainfall. Usually harvest is in October, and that's usually the start of rains for the California rice systems. A little bit by way of background, I talked about broadly adapted varieties. M202 was released in 1985, and it was the main variety for 20 years and has been replaced by 206, and maybe it's going to be replaced by M105. Coming up. These are broadly adapted varieties that are cold tolerant and grown throughout that region I just showed you. Other varieties have much more limited adoption. Again, poor performance is, they'll get knocked out. Again, limited cold tolerance, premium quality, and maybe some specific disease resistance. However, when these varieties are being released, they're generally released saying that they have similar or higher yield potentials than the varieties that they are being that they are replacing. So our objective in this was to quantify changes in yield potential over time of the publicly released varieties. And our specific hypothesis that we're looking at yield erosion. So we're asking the question, if a rice cultivar yields erode over time, then apparent yield increases in side-by-side comparison yield tests, which are typically used by breeders, do not reflect true increases in yield potential. So our methods, we limited our analysis to data from the rice experiment station. We do variety testing across the state, but we limited it to the experiment station. It's in a warm area, so we're not looking at conflicting results due to cold. We have about 30 plus years of data that we're looking at. We're again looking at only medium grain release cultivars. These are about 90% of what's grown in the state. Total of 14 cultivars that we'll be looking at. The other advantage of the experiment station is that every year there's multiple planting dates, And we've got about 1,500 observations to look at. And then using a mixed effects model, accounting for yield erosion and yield improvement across years with some random effects of year and cultivar. So just jumping into the results, this is when you look at average rice yields. And we took average rice yields for 5 years, five recent years, 2011 to 2016, versus the year of release. This is similar to what breeders are typically doing. They're looking at current varieties versus old varieties. And so this is a graph looking at that. And what we see is when we do it in this sort of side-by-side comparison versus the year of release, we're gaining about 25 kilograms per hectare per year. And again, this is what breeders are showing. That every release, they're saying generally we're increasing yields by a certain percent. And so what they're saying is validated by this data. However, when you look at the yields of varieties versus when they at the time of release, and here we're looking at averages of a few years for each variety around their release time, we see that there is really no change in yield potential. Yield potential is averaged between 10.8, 11.5 throughout the years. With some notable exceptions, particularly M205. M204 has not really been adopted, but M205 has higher yields, but it's really an exception. And M205 is not a broadly adapted variety. It has cold tolerance issues. So the real question is, how can these things both be true at the same time? And it's really, you have to, varieties erode, their yield potentials tend to erode over time. And so this figure here is we're looking at all the varieties versus the year since they were released. And we see that over time, yields are decreasing by about 30 kilograms per hectare per year. This is for all varieties. If you look at individual varieties, your degrees of freedom are a lot less. However, you see the same trend occurring. The cause of this, we don't really know. It's not new. People have found this in Asia with rice, and as well as with other crops. It's typically attributed to various biotic and abiotic factors. Another reason we use the Rice Experiment Station for this analysis is that they burn their straw every year, and they fallow every other year. So biotic factors like diseases and pests are low always in California, but in certainly in this situation, even lower because of those management practices. We also looked at in a previous paper changes during this period in terms of temperature. Has there been an increase in the occurrence of very low temperatures? We don't see that. And we haven't seen any average temperature differences across the time either. So we're still looking for why that may be part of our research. So just kind of see where we're at. Our current situation is that the gains that we're getting, where we're seeing sort of this 25 kg increase when you're looking at side by side, are really offset by erosion losses of a particular variety, which are about 30. However, from a breeder standpoint, we see also that breeding is necessary even to maintain yields near the yield potential. To get the 3% increases that a lot of breeders, 2 to 3, that they'd like to see with new varieties, we would have to not only get the 3%, but an additional, in this case, 0.3 ton, or a total of 0.6 ton per hectare to actually increase at a 2 to 3% level. So that's a 6% increase in side-by-side comparisons, which are extremely difficult when you're very close to the yield potential. That said, there's a lot that can be done when you're at the breeding in this situation. There's been a lot of additional in terms of, you know, there's certainly the maintenance, but quality has improved. California rice, the Calrose, which is these varieties, won the best rice of the world in Indonesia. So very significant when you're able to maintain that quality at very high yield potentials. Certainly they've done a lot there. We've also made improvements in harvest, being able to harvest at lower moistures. This reduces drying costs. It also gives growers a lot of flexibility in terms of harvest. The duration of the main varieties, and in this case M202, 206, and 205, have been reduced by about a week. Again, we have a short growing season, so having shorter duration varieties that are broadly adapted are a big improvement. We've put in disease resistance into some. Again, for the warmer areas, which is about half the area in the state, there are higher yielding cultivars for those areas, but these are tend to be a little longer in duration. So in conclusion, quantifying yield improvements, if you're looking for that, you really need to consider historical benchmarks of those yields, not just look at current side-by-side yield gains. And when we do that, we find that there hasn't been any real gains in yield potentials for the broadly adapted cultivars for California. When at the yield plateau, we still maintain that breeding is necessary even to maintain those yields, and that higher yields are likely, if you're going to need that, you're going to need to introduce new parent materials. And there are other important things that breeding programs can be doing, as we've noted here, to improve quality as well as some other agronomically favorable traits. So with that, I'd like to thank you.
We do have time for a couple minutes, or a couple questions.
I'm from Arkansas, so I don't deal in rice. A lot of our growers are growing hybrid rice.
Yeah.
How would that fit in with your conventional variety breeding?
Those hybrid rices in the southern U.S. have, they've got, at least in Arkansas and the southern U.S., there's about a 10 to 15% yield advantage to growing those. For the medium grains, there's not a rice tech which is doing the hybrids. They are in California. I think given the practices in California where you're broadcasting seed, seed's very expensive. I'm not sure if it would be, you could affordably plant a hybrid, and I'm not sure if you could reach those yields even with that. So,
yeah. Now, Bruce, bring us this thing. Do you have any evidence of similar trends of lack of yield condition increase for land crops besides rice?
In California? Or just say that again?
Yes, if there is evidence of lack of yield potential increase for other crops.
You know, I've talked to, you're talking about in terms of yield potential of particular varieties. I've talked with, I'm not a breeder, so we kind of looked at this, but we've mentioned this to a number of other breeders, and they say, yeah, we sort of see that, but I'm not sure how well it's been quantified. Certainly at IRRI, International Rice Research Institute, they saw this looking at historically long-term data that varieties are eroding. And in Asia, there's a lot of biotic reasons that may happen. But I'm not sure, like, if you're looking at corn or wheat, I'm not sure if you see the same thing or not.
Seems like it's job security for the breeders when you've got erosion of your performance over time. Kind of like, makes me think of the software companies, and they're always, it's not as good anymore, so you're going to upgrade, you know, so
yeah.
Maybe think about it. Any other quick questions? Thank you very much.